Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. I want to begin reading at verse 1. Let's read down through verse 9. Revelation chapter 21, reading down through verse 9. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my people. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. We ended our study in Revelation 21 in about verse 4 last Wednesday evening. As we begin this section of text, I said that it is based upon this verse primarily that many see the New Jerusalem in this context here as heaven itself. But I said we do not need to see that because I don't believe that's what's being portrayed to us. As we look at this, and I know you perhaps may have some disagreement with me on this, but I want you to really consider the text and ask yourself some questions as you look at this text. As I pointed out some things last Wednesday evening, that just the language itself indicates that the New Jerusalem and heaven are not the same in the text. Not only is it not the same in the first few verses that we studied, it's not the same as we continue through this chapter. There is a distinction made. Revelation 21, note in verse 2, Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. I have suggested to you that that verse indicates that heaven and the New Jerusalem cannot be the same. If New Jerusalem is heaven, then we have heaven coming out of heaven. Do we not see that? Hopefully we do. Now, those are questions you need to ask yourself when you go through this. If New Jerusalem is heaven, in this context, can I find New Jerusalem being heaven somewhere outside of this context? That is, can I find scriptural support somewhere, book, chapter, and verse, where it tells me that New Jerusalem is heaven?
I think this is talking about the church. Verse 2, the holy city.
Okay.
New Jerusalem, I think that's talking about the church, not heaven.
Okay. And I think a lot of people would agree with that, but then we come to verse 4 where we ended in our study, and it's still in the same context. Still in the same context. Verse 3, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. We know what tabernacle that is. I read to you from Hebrews chapter 9 last week. That tabernacle is a spiritual tabernacle, the church. It's with men. Earlier in the context, it was referred to New Jerusalem. Later on in the context, it's going to be referred to as the bride of the Lamb. Just different metaphors referring to the church. And then in verse 4, God shall wipe away every tear from our eyes. And when we come to this verse, we automatically see heaven. But heaven is not even mentioned in that verse. In order for us to get heaven out of the context itself, we have to go back to verse 2. But then we have heaven coming out of heaven if New Jerusalem is heaven. So God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. We want that to be literal, and it's symbolic and figurative language. I'll not take time to go back and read. You can listen to the recording. I read several passages from the Old Testament where it said that during the time of the new heaven and new earth, that is the new order of things, that there would be no more crying, no more weeping. Just a couple. Isaiah 25 and in verse 8. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. So, is that heaven? No. Same thing in later on in Isaiah 65 and in verse 12. Isaiah 65 and in verse 12. Therefore, I will number you for the sword, and you shall all bow down to slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not hear, but did evil before my eyes, and chose that in which I do not delight. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, note this, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart and wail for grief of spirit. Do you not see the opposite there? There's going to be joy of heart and singing, but those who are not his servants, they're going to be wailing and crying. Well, when is this? Well, jumping down in the context, Isaiah 65 and verse 17. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former shall not be remembered or come to mind. He's not speaking about destroying physical heaven and physical earth. We did see that back in Revelation chapter 20. But here, chapter 21 and verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. That's not the physical new heaven and new earth. That's the new order of things. The old order under the law of Moses had been destroyed. The new order has come into existence. The same thing Isaiah was writing about in Isaiah 65 when he said, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former shall not be remembered or come to mind. And so, how do you get that? When Christ came, absolutely, what did he do? He put an end to the old order of things, took his blood into the Holy of Holies, and brought about a new order of things. I fully agree Isaiah 65 is about that. But where do you see in Revelation chapter 21 that it changes from that? It's still the new order of things. He has redeemed us by his blood. We're in the church. We're in the temple. We're in the tabernacle, the spiritual body of Christ.
In verse 21 it says, now I saw a new heaven and a new
No. You're saying that is the literal heaven and earth there.
Yes.
I'm saying that it's the old order of things. You go back into chapter 20 and you see the destruction of the physical earth. Back in chapter 20, you know, the physical heavens and earth were burned up. And then we had the judgment. But remember, I said that when you come to chapter 21, you're not looking at something that's in time sequence. We're looking at the church here. It's not written in time sequence here in chapter 21.
In verse 2, it is the church.
It's both. It's both in heaven and on earth. Christ is the king of the church, the kingdom. He's in heaven. So we can't say that the church is not in heaven, because it is. As a matter of fact, the Holy of Holies is in heaven. Church itself is people, but the church is made up of more than people. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23 through 24. Even spirits of just men made perfect. Dead men who have been faithful to God throughout the ages. Right. But they're still part of the church. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we go on here. Verse 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. I saw heaven coming out of heaven. If that's what you want to, if that's the way you want it to read, that's okay. But it don't make sense. And you'll see that it don't make sense later on when you get into the context. Heaven is not coming out of heaven. As a matter of fact, as you jump down in the context, verse 5, then he who sat on the throne said, and who is that who's seated on the throne? It's God. Verse 7. God is speaking. God is in heaven. That's where he's at. The New Jerusalem is the same New Jerusalem that we saw mentioned over and over again previous to this chapter. If New Jerusalem is heaven here, why isn't New Jerusalem heaven in the other places we find it in the book of Revelation? Why does it change to heaven here, but in other places, New Jerusalem was the church? I'm asking you that because I want you to come up with an answer. When we read about the New Jerusalem in the other New Testament books, when we read about the Jerusalem above, when we read about the New Jerusalem that the Hebrew saints had come to in Hebrews 12 and verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. We understand that to be the church. Can you find, outside of Revelation 21 and 22, New Jerusalem being spoken of in Scripture as heaven? I'm just asking you to give book, chapter, and verse if you can.
But the new heaven and the new earth is not physical, because God himself said it wasn't.
Okay.
I don't see no problem there, really, until you say it's the order. Unless you can show us the order is talking about order of things and not a place. Can you show us?
Well, I'm using the phrase a new order of things because things change. I don't know what to call it besides an old order of things and a new order of things. God had an order of worship. He he desired to be worshipped in a certain way under the law of Moses. I would call that his old order, his old covenant. And when that old covenant, with all that belonged to that old covenant, when it was finally done away with the destruction of the temple and the city of Jerusalem, and the physical nation of Israel in 70 AD by the Romans, it was done away with. The old order is gone. Now, did that mean that the new order didn't come until 70 AD? No, the new order did come. But when we go back and look at the other New Testament books, it was a constant struggle by the apostles and those of that period of time to separate the old order from the new order. Because the unbelieving Jews wanted to bring the new order of things and mesh it with the old order of things. But it wasn't supposed to be done. The old order of things was going to be completely done away with, and it was. And now there's a completely new order of things. And that new order of things, under the old order of the things, the church didn't exist as we know it. Under the old order of things, every individual saint was not a priest, but they are now. Under the old order of things, physical sacrifices were offered. Under the new order of things, they're not. Let's read on.
That's that part there that I don't think we're understanding, that did they coexist all this time? And it's not the revelation that finally God says that's enough of it, you're going to do away with it because I'm going to put a destruction of it at the end of Jerusalem, and this desolation, destruction? Or was he allowing it to coexist in this new order from Acts 2 or to this time? Or that part there I think that we're having a problem with. You know, the Christian age is to continue until the end of time. But yet, it sounds like that you're saying that both continue to exist, that there wasn't a distinction, that you could continue, that God didn't finally put his foot down to Revelation with that thought.
No, God had prophesied, as I read in Isaiah 65, "Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth." When was he going to do that? It's written as if he was going to do that then. But Isaiah is writing at a time period when old Jerusalem then is going to be destroyed by the Babylonians. And so that's what we have in the book of Revelation. The old city of Jerusalem is destroyed. Now we have the new order of things. It's not that the new order of things just started and came into existence in 70 AD. The new order of things actually began when Jesus ascended to the Father's right hand. But everybody didn't know that. And the Jews continued to worship under the law of Moses. And the apostles tried to get them to understand that the old law and the old order of things was no longer to be engaged in. And God had prophesied hundreds of years before, Daniel chapter 12, that all of this was going to happen. I guess you might say God allowed the old order of things to exist with the new order of things for a period of time, but there came a point to where his prophecy that he had made through the prophets, that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed, that the temple was going to be destroyed.
If everything was totally abolished, then why do we still have the Orthodox Jews today continuing trying to worship as they did before and don't accept the New Testament?
The same reason the unbelieving Jews worshipped in the first century under the old law. Many of them simply just haven't changed. I guess they see the old law, the old order still continuing. But the new order of things came into existence when Christ ascended to the Father's right hand, took his blood into the Holy of Holies, and made atonement for the sins of mankind. It began then. But Judaism still existed.
And still does today.
And still does today. But it does not exist today as it did during this particular period of time. No Jew today can tell you what tribe he's from. Thus, there can be no high priest from the tribe of Levi and from the family of Aaron. There is no place for a Jew to worship today in Mount Zion. As a matter of fact, an Arab mosque is built on the site. May never be another temple built in God's name on that site. I don't know that it ever will be. But all of that had to be destroyed to get it out of the people's minds in the first century so they would recognize and realize that I guess God has changed things. Let's read on. Verse 5. I wanted to go over some more of the things mentioned in verse 4, but we'll just move on with verse 5. Then he who sat on the throne, and we know the one who's seated on the throne is God, mentioned in verse 7. So God here is speaking now. Behold, note what he said, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. I make all things new. Isaiah 42 and in verse 9. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I will tell you of them. So these new things are in prophecy. What about 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 17? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You want to know the old order of things? There it is. All things have passed away. What are the old things that have passed away? And the new things? Well, the voice of God here is the highest voice in the universe, and His voice at this point in the vision associates the new creation with God. And this new order of things is according to God's own will and own purpose. He said He would make all things new, as I read in Isaiah 42 and in verse 9. And so His voice from heaven affirms that what He had promised He has fulfilled. Isaiah 49 and verse 2. Behold, the former things have come to pass. The former things are the old things. And new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. God said He was going to do that. He did it. His word is true. His word is faithful, dependable, and reliable. You can count upon it. And so He made all things new. Thus we have a new covenant. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. We have new life in Christ. We have a new Jerusalem. Why? Because the old Jerusalem is gone. It's part of the former things. It's part of the old things. We have a new name. Okay. Chapter 21 and 22 is heaven to you. I get that. But it's my responsibility as a teacher to try to persuade you that it's not heaven. But has any of you found a passage yet that says New Jerusalem is heaven outside of Revelation 21? Yeah.
But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all.
Yes, I've quoted that on several occasions. The Jerusalem above, what do you suppose above is? It's heavenly Jerusalem. It's simply the word above is used there. It's heavenly in Hebrews 12, verse 22. You've come to Mount Zion, the holy city, heavenly Jerusalem. Heavenly Jerusalem and the Jerusalem above is the same. She is the mother of us all. She produces children because we are her children. Because she is married to Christ. And isn't this something? In Revelation 21, verse 9, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now then, if you believe this chapter speaking of heaven, come, I'll show you heaven, the Lamb's wife.
James, back in verse 2, I think I said this a while ago, I'll say it again. Verse 2, personally, to me, is not heaven. I think that's talking about the church. And when it says coming down out of heaven, I think that symbolizes the divine origin of the church.
Absolutely it does. Absolutely. It didn't come down out of heaven. That's its origin. That's why it's referred to as heavenly Jerusalem. The bride, in verse 9 that I just read about, is the same as New Jerusalem. It's the church. It's the same as the tabernacle we read about in verse 3. Different metaphors describing the church. The bride is the city. New Jerusalem is the city.
Let me ask you, where is the gates? Where is the foundations of the church? It tells us here, and the old things were done away. I see nothing about order. But the old things are done away. There's no more death. There's no more sorrow. There's no more crying. All pain. The former things have passed away. I'm not talking about order things. He's talking about pain and sickness and dying. There's not going to be any of that in heaven.
Let's go back to that point that you made about no more death. Mentioned there in verse 4. No more death?
Yeah.
If you're in the church, there is no more death. You do not die. Now, let's read a few passages. John 5 and verse 24. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me, note this, has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. When you came up out of that watery grave of baptism, you have new life. As long as you remain faithful in Christ Jesus, you'll never die. Oh, you'll die physically, but guess what? You live on. You live and reign with Christ. John 6 and in verse 50. John 6 and in verse 50. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, note this, he will live forever.
James.
That sounds to me like if we're in the church, we live forever.
What you're talking about, I think, is Christians will not experience the second death mentioned in verse 8. That's what you're talking about, right?
Right. That's the death. It's in harmony with the new life. Will you believe this? John 8 and verse 51, when Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my words, he shall never see death. He'll never experience death. Now we know that we're all going to die physically. Hebrews 9:27. Is that what Jesus meant there? No. But he said, if anyone keeps my word, faithful, I understand that when you don't keep His word, you're going to experience death, the second death in hell fire. But if anyone keeps my words, he shall never see death. You're in the church, you'll never see death as long as you're faithful. There's no death in the church. Is there death in the church? If you leave the church, if you leave your union and fellowship with Christ, yes, there is death. But as long as you're in the church, as long as you're faithful in Christ Jesus, you will never see death. I want to continue where we're at. We'll pick back up at verse 5 next Wednesday evening. Appreciate your remarks and your questions. Anything else for in? Thank you very much.